You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of NSE Presents InvestorCast, an exclusive investor podcast powered by Money Control. I'm your host, Rishi K, and this podcast is all about getting your money to make better investments for you in the new financial year. You know, I was reading some statistics the other day. In 2017, 98 helmetless two-wheeler riders died every day in India. That's right, 98 people died every day because they didn't want to wear helmets. Riding a two-wheeler without a helmet? I mean, that's incredibly risky, not to mention careless. What makes people take such a risk? Yeah, I get it that people think bad things won't happen to them, but what if it does? Are you willing to put your family through that pain of losing a loved one because of something so careless? Just because you can take a risk doesn't mean you should take the risk. That's the topic I want to talk about today, risk and personal finance. A lot of us invest in financial products without knowing the hit we will take if the product fails or the markets are shaky. We take financial risks because our friends and colleagues are taking them, or because we are following a trend. Not all of us are capable of handling the same level of risk. Some of us have a higher risk appetite, while some of us don't. This means we should not blindly invest into something if we can't handle a loss in our bank balance. For today's podcast, we have a risk expert who is going to tell you how your risk appetite shapes your portfolio. National Stock Exchange, NSE, with the help of InvestorCast, an exclusive investor podcast powered by Money Control, is committed to break the limitations of geographical boundaries and reach investors across the country. Today's podcast deals with risk appetite and what are the financial products and investments one should make based on one's risk appetite. Let's welcome our guest for the day. You've met him before on this podcast. Let's welcome Harsh Rungta, co-founder of ApnaLoan.com. Harsh is a SEBI-registered independent financial advisor who regularly writes for leading business newspapers in the country. He is an expert in matters of personal finance who understands risk and its implications when it comes to individual investors. Great having you on the show again, Harsh. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Rishi.
Let's get started with my barrage of questions, Harsh.
Sure.
It's all very well to talk about risk appetite, but how does one calculate their risk appetite? What are the factors one takes into consideration?
So, you know, risk is a rather sophisticated word. Let me sort of simplify this. In the context of investment, essentially risk means the possibility or the chance that the value of your investment will dip below what you had invested in it. If I was to give an even simplest analogy, let us take cricket. It would mean losing a match. Now, in any team, you have batsmen who play attackingly, you have steadier batsmen, you have part-time batsmen, and you have tail-enders. And between all of them to put together, there is some kind of an average run rate, okay, that they are comfortable scoring. And this average run rate, let us compare it to your risk appetite. Now, you would like to obviously play in matches where you can win by scoring at this average run rate that you as a team are comfortable with. But that is not the only thing, right? External conditions such as the nature of the pitch, the opposite team's bowling attack, the score put up by the opposite team, weather conditions. I mean, all this decides whether you need to score at a much faster rate than what you are comfortable with. And therefore, whether those risk appetite, what you have versus what you need to do might be higher, or reverse is also possible. The opposite team may collapse. So you need not even have to score at your run rate, and therefore you can play far more comfortably than what you are comfortable with. Let me bring that now back to investments. I think in investments, I would define the risk appetite as an ability to see capital loss in the portfolio and still continue making investments. I think that is how people see risk as far as investments are concerned. Do you have the ability to stomach a capital loss? If you don't, your risk appetite is low. If you have the ability to stomach a capital loss, you can say that your risk appetite is high. Obviously, the other important facts, just like cricket, your weather, opposing team bowling, etc. The other important thing is, when is the money needed? What are the resources you have? How much amount you are investing? When is the money needed? How much money is needed? I think all this put together will decide your overall investment strategy. But your ability to take a risk is very, very integral to that whole thing. And that is why they say that when you invest in equity, when you do systematic investment in equity for long periods of, say, 10 years, it will give you good returns and thus hopefully take you towards your objectives, whatever be your objectives. But you need to be able to stomach the inevitable loss of capital that is going to happen during those 7-8 years. It's only after 7 or 8 years that the chances of a capital loss become quite slim.
I quite like the fact that you're likening investments to cricket. It goes with the flavor of the season. Just on a lighter note, were your cricket playing abilities on the pitch in your younger days as good as your investment advice abilities?
Absolutely, absolutely. You hit it on the head.
What is the difference between risk appetite and risk tolerance, Harsh? That's an area a lot of people are still unsure about. I'd like you to remove all the cobwebs.
So, I mean, these are terminologies and many people use them interchangeably, okay? There are no legal definition for risk appetite and risk tolerance, okay? I would like to put it as the ability to take the risk versus the willingness to take the risk. Again, let me use a cricketing analogy since people understand that better. Think of a steady player like Cheteshwar Pujara, okay? When he is at the crease, his normal strategy is to cut out the risk, play in the V, play all along the ground. But if only one over is left in the match and 20 runs are to be scored and he is batting, even a Cheteshwar Pujara will have to try lofted shots. Versus, let us take a reverse situation, only 10 runs are needed, 5 overs are left, then even an attacking player like Virat Kohli will play steadily to make sure that the match is won. Ultimate, so the ultimate objective that the match should be won is important. Obviously, you have to work with what you have, which is your natural style of investment and the resources you have. So I think, I hope that sort of explains the difference between your natural style, steady or slightly risk-taking, versus the resources available, and that allows you to do something different. So, ability and willingness.
Can you give us a breakup of the kind of investments investors with different risk appetites should actually enter into? Let's say, for example, what should a high risk taker invest into compared to a medium risk taker and a low risk taker, Harsh?
So, you know, Rishi, what you have done is you have only taken one side of what should be a matrix. Okay. The one side is obviously your risk taking, your high risk, moderate risk, and a low risk. On the other side, also, I would say, and this is assuming resources are enough, okay, is your P rate, right? So you have on one, let us say the rows or the columns are, let us say, your risk-taking ability, low, moderate, and high. And the rows are the P rates, short-term, which means up to 3 years, medium-term, between 3 and 9 years, long-term, 10 years and above. Now, let's say this is the matrix. In each cell in this matrix, so for example, short-term, low risk, very clearly fixed income securities. It will have to be things like bank deposits, liquid funds, arbitrage funds, those kind of things would be there, and so on. I mean, I think it is a continuum where you will see it going towards equity till when you have a long term and high risk that can be pure equity, 100% equity. So, I mean, this will be a metric structure, and there is no absolute one answer to the question that you asked.
You're listening to National Stock Exchange. NSE presents InvestorCast, an exclusive investor podcast powered by Money Control. We're committed to break the limitations of geographical boundaries and reach investors across the country. Harsh Rungta, personal finance expert, is on the show with us today, educating us on risk and how does risk appetite shape an individual's portfolio. You know, in India, a lot of people have to be taken into consideration before you invest into anything. It's a given in India that as an individual, you will take care of your parents, child's education, siblings, on occasion, extended family members as well. Harsh, how much of a say do dependents have in deciding an Indian investor's risk appetite? And does the number of dependents explain India's love for fixed deposits and insurance, for example? Because, you know, that's something we still seem to believe in as a country.
So, I mean, your natural style is your natural style. So, I mean, it is possible that your dependents share your natural style and they may influence it to a certain extent. But I think your natural style, your risk-taking ability remains your risk-taking ability. But let's come to the second interesting question you asked. Does this explain, does a low risk appetite in India, does that explain the love for fixed deposits and insurance? So I think that's not really true, because Indians don't really have a low risk appetite. I mean, the manner in which we have the small number of people, but the number of people who invest in equity, and that's a growing number of people now, clearly the ability to take risk is high. I mean, think of the people who used to sort of give money as advance to builders, okay, without any without knowing really when the buildings are going to come up. I mean, that tells you the amount of risk that Indian investors are willing to take. But coming back to fixed deposits and insurance, I think the love for deposits and insurance is more a matter of a mixture of ignorance, inertia, mis-selling, rather than the number of dependents. First, fixed deposits, they've always been around, very comfortable to deal with, and on the surface, it doesn't affect your invested capital. You'll always see a nice little increment year after year. But in the long run, remember, because the return net of taxes is almost always lower than inflation, you are actually eating into your wealth. It is guaranteed to eat into your wealth. It is a sure shot risk, I would say, if your investment horizon is long, is very long. So the second one, the insurance come investment products, that I think is a simple matter of high pressure mis-selling tactics, obviously driven by the high commissions that agents make, and the bad habit that all of us typically have of investing only for tax breaks, not investing for your goals, investing only for tax break, and that too doing it at the last minute. So I think it's a mixture of all these reasons why insurance and fixed deposits are such a big deal still.
The correct time to throw in the towel, the correct stage at which one should call quits on an investment or a financial product, that itself is an art, I feel, Harsh. At what point should we say, no, this strategy isn't working for me? Can you explain this to us with an example, please?
So, you know, the best time to get out of your investment is when you need the money. So, I would like to sort of, again, talk about my favorite subject, which is goal-based investment. When you're doing goal-based investment, there is no real reason for you to quit the investment unless that investment has done badly in comparison to its peers, very, very badly in comparison to its peers. Just because an investment is in a loss, you don't quit it, because especially if it is an equity investment, because equity investments are bound to be in a loss. When you invest for 8 to 10 years, there is bound to be periods during which it will be below your capital. The chances that it will be below your capital is very, very high. But in the long run, the chances that it will give you a great return is very high. And by long run, I've already defined long run as 10 years and more. So I think if you are aware of what you are getting into, if you have done goal-based investing, you are aware of what you are getting into. So all of this you would have thought through before you would have invested. Now comes to, you know, all these investments in shares with these stop loss, etc. being put in. My advice to individual investors have been, stay away from direct investment in shares unless you have a specific expertise in a sector or a company, in which case you don't really need to ask me when to sell. Your expertise should tell you when you should be selling.
Very well put. So people have different horizons for different investment goals, Harsh. Does it make sense to take a higher risk for short-term goals? What do we keep under consideration then?
So short-term, again, the definition, as I said, is anything up to 3 years is short-term. So even for somebody who's a high risk taker, and even for him, where you are at the larger end of the horizon, which is say 3 years, you might put in a bit of equity, something like an equity saving fund for a 3 year horizon for a very high risk taker. Otherwise, for a lower period, say 1 or 2 years, then for any kind of risk taker, and for low and moderate risk takers, even up to 3 years, I would define fixed income instruments only. Fixed income instruments can be mutual funds, they can be bank instruments, they could be debentures, government securities, anything that is applicable to the individual.
So this has been a very, very enlightening podcast. Harsh, with his words of wisdom, has really prompted us to think. I'm sure all of you now have an idea of how to calculate your risk appetite, how to invest in products that are right for you. Remember, do not bite off so much that you can't swallow. It's now time for our Wisdom in the Bank segment, the segment of the show that does a quick recap of all the points that our guest, in this case Harsh Rungta, has spoken about. In investments, think of the risk appetite as the ability to see a capital loss in your portfolio and still continue making investments. If you don't have the ability to stomach a capital loss, your risk appetite can be deemed to be low. The main factor is the objective you're seeking to obtain and the amount of time and resources you have for achieving that objective. If the resources or time are limited and the objective is still difficult to achieve, then even a normally steady investor will try to take more risks. Converse is also true. Assuming sufficient resources are available, you can work out a matrix-like structure where the columns could be risk-taking ability, low, moderate, high, and the rows could be the time available, short-term up to 3 years, medium-term between 3 and 9 years, and the long-term 10 years and above, and work out a mix of equity and fixed income accordingly. Mixing of investment and insurance is simply a matter of high-pressure mis-selling tactics because of high commissions and the bad habit of investing only for tax breaks at the last minute. For a lay investor, one does not recommend a direct investment in shares unless he or she has specific expertise in a sector or company, in which case you should sell when your expertise is telling you to sell. Even for a high risk taker, if the goal is only 1 or 2 years away, you should invest in fixed income instruments only. Harsh, has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you once again for coming on. The conversation has been full of learning, and I'm sure our listeners have made extensive notes on the pointers you've given us.
Thank you, Rishi.
And that's a wrap on our show, NSE Presents InvestorCast. My name is Rishi K. I'm your host on the NSE Presents InvestorCast, an exclusive investor podcast powered by Money Control. To know more about our podcast, log on to moneycontrol.com and visit the podcast section. In case you'd like us to address any of your investment queries on our show, do write into us at nseinvestorcast@nw18.com. That's nseinvestorcast@nw18.com. You can also reach out to us on Twitter at moneycontrolcom or Facebook at moneycontrol.com. Do remember to use the hashtag NSCInvestorCast. Thank you for listening. Disclaimer: the material on this show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any financial decision.